Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We live today in a very relative society. That does not mean, as my children might think, that all of our society are relatives. What that means is that everything is judged off of things that are not absolute. That is a comparison society. I look good in my own eyes because so-and-so looks bad in my eyes. This looks like a good law because this other one over here looks like a bad law. It is a constant comparison. It is a constant comparison to make ourselves look good or not as bad. People today do not think of themselves as sinners because they see other people that do worse than they do in their minds. People today look at societies in the past and they judge them quite harshly because of the things that they perceive they have done wrong. It's all about perception. It's all about how you view things. And today's society doesn't want any absolutes. The religious world is no different, Elijah. The religious world is no different. People today think that any way to God is a good way. They think that any possibility will afford you heaven. Whether it be the Book of Mormon, whether it be the works salvation of the Catholics, whether it be Mohammedism, whatever it may entail, people say, well, as long as you're sincere, Isaiah, then you'll reach God. There used to be a barn where we lived in Kentucky. And on this barn, someone had painted a sign. It said, all paths to God are sacred. Choose one. That's the relative society that we live in. That's the way people do things. I always had the severe temptation to go one night and burn the barn down. Or at least just paint over what they said. And put on there the appropriate thing. There is only one way to God. Seek Him. But that's not what I did. And thankfully one day someone painted the barn. I didn't have to deal with that any longer. But it's just the idea of what people do. Of what people think. They think that you just can just pick and choose. And you'll be alright. That you can just pick and choose what is true. But see, that's not how truth works. Truth is an absolute. There is no varying. There is no shadow of doubt. It is absolutely true, and absolutely true all the time. There are things that Jesus stated that tell us that He is it. There is nothing besides Him, and there is no other way to God besides Him. But people don't want to hear that. People want to be comfortable in their relativism that they're okay. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at that verse and the absolute statements that Jesus makes about himself and what impact that has upon us as we go through our lives. The first thing that Jesus says is, I am the way. He's saying, I am the way to God. Now, that should tell us a few things. The first thing it tells us is a way is needed to God. That just living your life is not acceptable. A way is needed. A path is needed. A road is necessary. You have to be upon that road. The Bible confirms this throughout. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We're all destined to sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. But what does that mean? What's the result of coming short of the glory of God? Well, Revelation 20 tells us. He tells us that there is a judgment and there is a hell. And that hell is exactly where sinners will go. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, mankind, we have this relative idea that I'm better than others, and so God will accept me. But Jesus says, I am the way to God, and there's no other way. Well, here he's telling us what will happen because we're sinners. We need a way to God. You see, here in Revelation, death and hell and sin and sinners were cast into the lake of fire. And why was it? You know, it's an interesting thing. When you speak to someone in this relative society we live in, they'll always say, well, my good things outweigh my bad things. I've got more good things I've done over here than I've done bad things over here. And I'm going to be judged based on that. Unfortunately for them, they're right. They will be judged based on that if they do not know Christ. You see, Revelation tells us that there are two ways to be judged. You're either judged in Christ and having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or you're judged based off of your works. But see, no one's going to come out okay if they're judged based off of their works. Because it says here, whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. It didn't matter what good works they think they've done. Every one of them was cast into the lake of fire. So we need a way. We need a way to God. We need a way to have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If God sent his own Son to die to become the way, well, we certainly can't do it for ourselves, can we? He rules out all of those other ways that people think they come up with. See, because Jesus said he is the way. That's a singular statement. It's a singular absolute. He didn't say, I am a way. You see, if he said, I am a way to God, that leaves the door open for other possible ways. But he didn't say that. He said, he is the way. And see, by doing it, by saying, I am the way, he rules out Islam. He rules out Hinduism. He rules out the Jehovah's Witnesses. Atheism, science, Buddhism, ritualism, spiritualism, relativism, ecumenical, whatever ism you'd like to have. He rules that out. He says, no, that's not acceptable. He rules out a works salvation. Because he is the way. He is the only way. There is no other way. And just so we're clear, there's nothing added to that way. He doesn't say, I am the way, plus your good works. He doesn't say, I am the way, plus your sincerity. He doesn't say any of that, does he? He says, I am the way. There is nothing added to it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, boys. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's only one way. There's nothing you can add to get you into the way. And it's a narrow way. Matthew 7 tells us, Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, meaning a narrow way, a narrow gate, skinny to get through. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You don't have to do anything to be on the Broadway, on the broad road. We're there, we're on it when we're born. We walk upon it. You don't have to do anything to go. And all of these isms that we've mentioned, they're all on that broad road. That's just another lane on the road to walk upon. Some of them look like they're closer to the right way, but they're still not on the way. They're still not on the right way. They're still the wrong way. Jesus is the only way to the forgiveness of sins. The psalmist says in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Here is the psalmist. He says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, whose sin is taken away. And he says, I've been on my bed and I'm feeling horrible within myself. My bones are brittle. I'm because I've been crying all the day. And what does that do for him? It does nothing. His tears have cried out. But when then he comes and acknowledges his sin unto the Lord, when he comes and confesses his iniquity, what does the Lord do? He forgives. Not based off of his tears, not based off of his roaring all the day long, based off of who God is, based off of what God has done. That's the way. I read this in the opening for our scripture reading, Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verses 8 to 10, it says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. Wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." That's the way. And it's not a new way. It's not something that someone has just discovered in the 21st century. It's the way that's been foretold here, even in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, and we know this is what exactly Isaiah is speaking about, because he's talking about the deaf hearing and the blind seeing and the lame leaping for joy. It's that day. It's the great day of the Lord. And what happens in the great day of the Lord? A way is made. A way is made. What is the way? Well, it's Jesus Christ, and it is the way to eternal life. John chapter 3, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You look throughout the book of John and you find this idea constantly. Believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God that you have eternal life. That is the only way to salvation, is belief in the Son of God. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That is it. Jesus says, "Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." He is the way. He says it. There is no debating it. There is no way to get around it. You can either agree with it or disagree with it. There's no ambiguity there. He does not walk together with Muhammad. He does not walk together with Allah or Vishnu or any of the other false gods throughout the world. He says, "I am the way." And that's the only way. There is no way to go any other place. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, "I am the way, the truth, the truth." Anything that does not agree with Jesus Christ is a lie. It's that simple. If he is the truth, then anything that opposes him is a lie. You want to know whether something is good or bad, examine it in that light. Instead of this relativistic society where I'm comparing something to me or to someone else's works or to someone else's law, no, compare it to Christ. Does he agree with it? Does his words match up with it? Because if they don't, then it's a lie. It's false. In the first chapter of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And then He says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now we know that this book is all about Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, it is pointing us to Him. But specifically, John says, truth, the full revelation comes to us by Jesus Christ. We understand God because of Jesus Christ. If we did not have Him, we would not understand God, because He is the truth. Jesus says this throughout His ministry. In John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. See, the Jews had thought, well, we have Moses. Moses gave us the bread from heaven. And Jesus said, no, Moses didn't give you that bread from heaven. God gave you that bread from heaven. And now God is giving you the true bread of heaven. Here is the one that comes and you must take part in. You must eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. And so many people turn from Him because of those statements. But He's saying, you must take part of Me spiritually. You must trust Me. You must have faith in Me. Because I am the truth. If there's no one else that you can trust Christ. Because He is the truth. There is no shadow of turning with Him. Not only that, all of God's promises are in Him. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But God, as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. That's the truth. Every single promise that God has ever made is held together and has found its fulfillment because of Jesus Christ. Because of who He is. Because of His willingness to sacrifice Himself for sinners. Because He is the truth. But you see, people understand that He's the truth and still choose not to follow, don't they? I think of Pilate. Pilate saw the truth and didn't follow it. Didn't follow Christ. In John chapter 18, it says, Pilate therefore said unto Him, art Thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice. Pilate saith unto Him, what is truth? And when He had said this, He went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in Him no fault at all. Pilate recognized the truth. He recognized it. He says, I don't find any fault. There is nothing that He has said that is incorrect. He has spoken the truth. And yet He still gave Him over to be crucified. It didn't impact Him, did it? It should impact us. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, we have to understand that there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. No true life. In John chapter 1 again, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the Creator. He is the Creator that has done it all. And all of it is held together by Him. By who He is. He is the life. And that life, Jesus Christ, is the light of men. It is the thing that gives us who we are. Without Him, we would be nothing. We wouldn't exist. We wouldn't exist at all. You think about this. Job is considered by theologians to be the oldest book that is written. It is debated as to when it was written, whether it is just after the flood or possibly before the flood. we're not quite sure exactly when, but in Job chapter 19, while Job is struggling, while he is struggling with all of the things that have happened in his life, he says in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job recognized that no matter what's happening to him, he had life in God. He had life in the Redeemer. So that so many centuries, millennia before Christ, Job says, "I know my Redeemer lives now. Not is going to live, but is now living. I know my Redeemer liveth. And that one day he will stand upon the earth. And that even though I may be rotting in the grave for century upon century, I know that in my flesh I will see him. That I will be resurrected and have life in him." That's faith. That's trust. That's what we need. That's the recognition that life is in him. Jesus says in John 14, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." You see, the life that a Christian lives is different than the life of the world. They're seeking after food. They're seeking after possessions. They're seeking after security. They're seeking after so many different things. And they miss it all, because their life will end. And they will have accomplished nothing, because they'll stand before the judgment of God and be judged upon their works and cast into hell. But Jesus Christ says, if you are in me, then you live because I live. Then you truly live. And it doesn't matter what state of life you're in, you are living truly because of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 5, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." That's the point of the resurrection, isn't it? Jesus shows, by rising from the dead, that he has power over sin and over death. That he had victory over sin and over death. And he shows it to us, and he says to us, you've been reconciled to God by his death, but even more so by his life. Because he now liveth, maketh intercession for us. He now lives on. And one day we shall see him face to face. So that Paul can say to the Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." He says, I've been crucified with him, but I'm alive. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a different life altogether. My life that was before is over. It's dead. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I live. But I don't live. Christ lives in me. And I'm doing it all for him because he did it all for me. Because he is the life, you can be dead unto sin. Likewise, in Romans 6, "Reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that doesn't mean we're going to be sinless. We're going to be perfect in this life. But we're going to be growing. We're going to be putting sins away, which when you're not a Christian, you have no desire to do. You just go ahead in it. But see, God makes us different. He makes us to strive against the old nature, to strive against that sin, so that we can say with Paul in Ephesians 2, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Quickened means to make alive. You think of someone with those paddles for bringing someone's heart back to beat again. That's being quickened. That's what God has done for us. He's quickened us. Our heart was dead in sin. And he put those paddles on us and electrified us and brought us to life. "Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, those two words are fantastic words. This is who we all were. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a glory! What a glory it is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Are you in the way? Do you know the truth? Do you have the life? You know, I think of the Philippian jailer, and sometimes we make the gospel seem so complicated, but it truly is simple. Faith is simple. It's not easy. It's not an easy faith, but it's a simple faith. It's not hard arithmetic. Jesus died for sinners. The Philippian jailer, he's trembling because he thinks all his prisoners are gone. He's going to kill himself because he knows exactly what they're going to do to him. And Paul says, don't do this. We're all here. And he sees that these men are different, that they have life in them. And he says, what must I do to be saved? And they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the answer. It's that simple. It's not easy. It's not easy to turn away from yourself and your own efforts to do well. But Jesus says that's what it takes, because he is the only way. He is the only truth, and he is the only life. There is no other way but his way. There is no other truth but his truth. There is no other life but his life. Because all of those things found themselves in him. And it's not something new. In Isaiah, the Lord says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There is none else. Jehovah is speaking, and he says, I am God, I am Elohim. There is none else. There is no one beside me. There is no Allah. There is no Vishnu. There is no Buddha. There is none of these things that can lead you to life. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And so we point you to him. We point you to the way. We point you to the truth so that you might have life. Because it's only found in Jesus Christ. Amen.